And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender, Robbie Stanley, alongside Joe Rexroad and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. We'll take your thoughts all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, streaming live today and every day on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Joe Rexroad, as you adjust that microphone, as you do every morning,
you hear how's that everything squeaking? Going? You hear that squeaking? It's good. You're a day closer to 30, man.
I know,
have
man.
You thought about that yesterday?
I actually did, yeah.
You did?
I was like, I'm now less than a calendar year away from being 30. It's good stuff.
30's great. 30's the new 20.
Is it?
I don't know. Maybe.
Hey, hopefully, I'll take it.
Hopefully 50's the new 28.
Hopefully so. Rexroad's got his coffee today. This is good stuff for you.
Got my COVID test done.
Yeah.
Got the coffee.
Big day.
Feeling good. Feeling good.
That's right. We've got a lot to get to today here on the show. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt football coach, joining us at 7 o'clock. We'll be joined by Titans outside linebacker Ola Adeniyi at 7:15, so looking forward to that. The choice is yours at 7:45, and then Casey Alexander, Belmont men's basketball coach, joining us at 8:30. Some news yesterday on the Belmont front, so lots to get into today, including some comments from Philip Forsberg yesterday at Predators training camp.
Yes,
we're a multifaceted show today, Rexro.
That's right. We got a little hoops today, to your dismay.
And, love me some hoops. Got a basketball hat on as we speak.
That's right, but it's an NBA hat.
It is.
Yeah, got some hockey, got some Titans, got some Vanderbilt. Yeah, you can't really. We were just talking about this before the show. Can't get too much different in film for a coaching staff. I can't imagine. Than to go from looking at Georgia last week, like watching Friday the 13th Part 3,
yeah,
and then this week you're looking at UConn.
That's quite a difference.
Now, I'm sure nobody in the building's laughing as they watch the UConn film, but they still got to be like, okay, all right, this seems much better.
Much different film session than what they saw a week ago. I don't think there's any question about that.
Got a shot here.
Yeah, I would say so. Joe, some interesting comments yesterday with the Titans. Obviously, the players having the day off yesterday. They'll be back at it today out there at Titans practice as they prepare for the Jets. But some interesting comments made yesterday, especially at the wide receiver position, and in particular with Josh Reynolds being inactive. That's something that you've been very curious about this week so far as, you know, Sunday rolls around. Josh Reynolds is not active. He was not on the injury report last week. And that was brought up yesterday. What did we learn yesterday about Josh Reynolds and him being a healthy scratch last week?
Well, first, I should apologize. You know, at some point when they do these assistant interviews, like I could, you know, get audio and then like bring it to the show. You know, I don't, so I'm sorry.
It's okay.
But, you know, still like it's right writer brain. But, yeah, we got, you know, all the offensive assistants yesterday. So Rob Moore, receivers coach, had a couple interesting things. One, he indicated there's at least an expectation this week that, you know, the Titans will get Marcus Johnson. Now, again, that doesn't – being designated to return does not necessarily mean he's back.
Right.
But if that happens, that would still be significant. And then, you know, you would think it wouldn't be too long before they get Marcus Johnson, who, again, to review, although Chester Rogers also was very good in camp, I think Marcus Johnson was absolutely the best receiver who participated throughout camp. Exclude A.J. Brown, exclude Julio. Marcus Johnson, to me, is a guy who, if he gets back to that level he was playing at, he's going to make plays for the Titans this year. I mean, look, we just saw the receiving corps Sunday, and they reach deep. But Marcus Johnson would help a lot. But, yeah, the Josh Reynolds conversation from Rob Moore is basically, you know, he was asked, you know, why he didn't play. Again, the same thing that Vrabel's asked when Vrabel said he was inactive.
Yeah.
But Rob Moore said, look, basically, like, special teams is going to – I can find the exact quote. But basically, like, because he doesn't contribute on special teams, that's why he said, you know, for guys on the fringe, a lot of times that makes a difference. I would still ask, why is he on the fringe? You know, I mean, like when they signed him, they knew, I'm sure, that he wasn't going to be a special teams guy. And yes, got into this a little bit yesterday. Yes, this was before, of course, they drafted, or drafted, before they traded for Julio Jones.
Correct.
So that, you know, that knocked him down a peg, but I wouldn't expect him to be lower than, you know, like a Batson, a Racy McMath on a game day. Again, special teams, so that makes sense, but it's still, I guess it's one of two things with Josh Reynolds. One, again, the injury has diminished him at this point, whether he doesn't still technically have an injury, but, you know, it's affecting him, or he's just not as good as they thought.
Either one's not good news.
Or, you know, or A leads to B, I guess. But, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you know, I wouldn't count him out still. I mean, it's good to probably have him on the roster as a guy who could come in and at some point be a factor, but it is surprising.
It's surprising because if you would have told me before the season that Josh Reynolds was not going to be a contributor on special teams, I would have said, okay, yeah, probably not. But for that to be a reason that he's inactive tells me that either, like you said, either the injuries that he sustained are really having an effect on him, which is, again, that shows you how quick things can turn in this league, because he's played in every, up until this year, had played in every single game since he's been drafted. Or they've watched him play and they say, huh, you know, I don't know. We've got some better options than Josh Reynolds.
Well, another thing about Josh Reynolds, which I didn't even really realize until he got here, but it's very obvious if you get near him, is he is very skinny. I mean, he doesn't really fit the profile of like a receiver who's going to be a super effective blocker. I mean, anybody can be if they just want to
get
throw,
in the way.
Yeah, want to throw themselves in there and occupy who they're supposed to occupy. But
I mean, Tebow tried.
Yeah. But, I mean, I guess that would be maybe another thing that is counting against him. But then also that I would say, okay, then why, you know, I guess, why were you interested in him?
Yeah.
But it's hard to ask the question, which I posed yesterday on Twitter, you know, like, that makes me wonder why they signed him. It is hard to pose that question without knowing the extent of, you know, the physical situation. I mean, that's the thing. And as we know, with another guy in that room, you don't have to have an injury designation to have something wrong or yeah, something that keeps you off the field. But the room is it's very interesting. There's a lot of guys. I think Marcus Johnson coming back, well, first of all, that's going to push Reynolds down more, right? I mean, if they ever get everybody all back and good, I mean, Reynolds is a long way from the field.
Yeah.
Clearly. But Marcus Johnson has kind of replaced him as – to me, the bigger receiver with the speed to make a defense pay vertically and be another, you know, be another threat out there along with the big two and Derrick Henry.
Well, I remember, you know, when Josh Reynolds signed the contract with the Titans, you know, he's basically making a little bit over $1 million this year. And I thought to myself, man, that could end up being quite the steal for the Titans here. And maybe if you're Josh Reynolds, you're wanting to come in, get a bigger role, maybe bet on yourself a little bit. And it looks like that may not be a bet that turns out very well for Josh Reynolds at this point.
Right. 1.75. So 1 year, 1.75 million. And it's guaranteed. So, but that's not like if it ends up being, you know, if it ends up that he just doesn't do much at all this year, it's, I mean, that's not a,
no,
it's not a killer, you know, investment. But
it's,
I
more
agree,
so from his perspective.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's exactly what, that's how I looked at it. Like, okay, he's gonna, you know, with the Rams, you know, they've got Kupp and they've got Woods and Higbee, and, you know, maybe go to a place where, you know, they don't have a bunch of great receivers. And hey,
Julio Jones,
welcome to Nashville.
Look at there.
But again, like, I think there's a place for Marcus Johnson in this offense. I absolutely do. And that's the place I thought Josh Reynolds was going to occupy.
Yeah, and look, you know, we're going into week four, so there's still some time here Josh Reynolds to work his way into.
I mean, he could be wide receiver one in, like, November.
He could be. You know? We'll see what happens on that front, but I am surprised that it's gone this way. And like you said, it's tough to really have much of an opinion on what this exactly means for Josh Reynolds without knowing the extent of the injuries that he's been dealing with. Because, it could be just as simple as, yeah, he's just not fully recovered yet, and that's been a huge problem for him to try to overcome. You know, you talked about it. Anytime the word Achilles pops up, you get pretty nervous. That was definitely an eyebrow raiser when he talked about that.
Yeah, but it's just with Achilles, I mean, it's either really serious, and it's a long, and you're just on the shelf for a long time. I mean, guys do have Achilles strains,
yeah,
and sometimes that doesn't necessarily have to be a long-term thing. But, you don't like that word involved at all. So I got to think that's part of it. If that's not part of it, then I guess he's not what the Titans thought he was. In tandem with Johnson emerged, Rodgers emerged, Julio was traded for, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina is a future All-Pro year after year.
Yes.
A lot of things going on.
Well, that's the thing, though. Room. Like, you know, if Josh Reynolds is not going to be much of a contributor this year, and we'll see what happens on that front, I think you still feel pretty good about this receiving room if you're a Titans fan. You know, if people can get back and be healthy, I think you still feel pretty good about where you're at wide receiver from a depth perspective. So, good problem to have, I guess, if you're John Robinson and the Titans.
And that doesn't include the fourth-round pick.
It does not.
Who's nowhere to be found. But, yeah, I will say I didn't – if someone said, you're going to see a key play in the fourth quarter of a big game and both Cam Batts and Racy McMath will be lined up, they'll be two of the three receivers lined up, I might have laughed at that person.
Maybe
that's
so.
The NFL, though.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans when we come back and take a deeper look at this wide receiver position. How have they been able to build this depth, and what does it mean potentially without A.J. Brown coming up for maybe this week, maybe the next couple of weeks? We'll get into that coming up next. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. After 20 years on the same sideline, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick meet this weekend as opponents. It's the GOAT quarterback versus the GOAT head coach, and you can be a part of the epic showdown with unbelievable odds on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can win $125 on a $5 bet if either team scores a touchdown. That's right, 25-1 odds on any touchdown anytime during the Tampa and New England game. And quite frankly, I think Brady's going to throw a lot of them in that game coming up on Sunday against New England, but you take that any way you want to take it. Offers like these are just one of the many reasons I love betting the NFL on FanDuel. It's the number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to use, safe and secure, and they get you your money quickly in as little as 24 hours. So if you're new, sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook today using promo code ROB and make your first bet one for the history books. Don't forget to use promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only, a $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus of $125. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. That was Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill about the depth that this team has catching the football. And Joe, that's been on display so far this season. We saw that in the fourth quarter even on Sunday against Indianapolis. Not the players you thought would be on the field, but productive nonetheless, and the Titans are able to get it done. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I will say, that's one thing about Tannehill that's been, I think, very encouraging and very interesting to watch, is for the most part, and I think he may be guilty of it every now and then, but for the most part, Tannehill really doesn't just force the ball to people. He tends to try to find the open man. And sometimes I think it can be very tempting as a quarterback when you see Julio Jones out there running by two guys and they're both all over him to say, you know what, it's Julio Jones. Let's see if he can catch this anyway. But for the most part, Tannehill doesn't really do that.
Yeah, he still was awful Sunday. He made no good plays. But But no, he
– sarcasm.
He did have – one of his picks was a bit of a force to Julio in week 1.
Yep.
It was also, I don't remember what the score was, but it was basically over at that point.
Yeah.
Just trying to throw it around the yard. But, no, he's got the point guard kind of approach, which I think you need to have. I mean, look, there are times, like last year at Houston, where it's like, okay, they just tied this up. This game's way more competitive than it should be. This is for the division. I'm just going to go ahead and launch one to AJ and just see how that works out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got to go to your top people in certain moments. But, no, and that's the thing about Sunday that impressed me, too, is that, you know, he made some plays under duress with a lot of pressure with guys who there's no way he's had a lot of reps with, right? I mean, I guess Michael Pruitt has been here in the past. Jeremy McNichols has been here in the past. I mean, yeah, Westbrook Akina got some work in camp. But, I mean, it's different than what he anticipated even going into the day.
Sure.
That he, you know, guys he'd be throwing to.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe from Maryland texting in. Fans were going nuts because the Titans passed up on so many of those good receivers in the draft. But I think we weren't panicking because we had Reynolds. It would have been nice to get any of those receivers in the first three rounds. This coming from Joe from Maryland.
Yeah, well, I think certainly, like, if you're going to draft a receiver anyway and move up, then instead of doing that, draft one of these other guys. I'm trying to think of who among the draftees so far has been impressive. I mean, Rondale Moore has had his moments.
Been pretty good.
Rondale Moore, he can play. And, of course, then last week I did decide to start him, and he had, like, one catch for minus 2 yards. But this is how it goes. Elijah Moore, I think, is going to be good. But he hasn't done a ton yet with the Jets, which is interesting because it's not like they're – I mean, I understand they have top 100 player Corey Davis, but it's not like they're overflowing with offensive skill.
And I think he's got a concussion, so I don't know that we're going to see him coming up on Sunday against the Titans.
He got one Sunday?
I think so.
Yeah, okay. I saw in the box score there wasn't much from him. He did play last game, but maybe that's why. I don't disagree. It is, you know, we'll see if any of them, you know, really turn out to be great players. Again, I think Rondale Moore as a slot receiver is a weapon.
Pretty good.
Yeah, and he's going to be fun in that offense. Now I'm drawing a blank on some of the other guys.
Well, Rashad Bateman's not even gotten on the field yet for the Ravens. You know, obviously, I mean, the top guys, obviously, like Ja'Marr Chase has been great. I don't think that surprises anybody. You got Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle.
Yeah,
but we knew those three.
Yeah, guys they weren't going to
get. I mean, they had no chance to get any of those guys. I mean, you know, you make the trade with Green Bay, and they get the Packers get Amari Rodgers. He's not done much of anything. I mean, he's the punt returner for the Packers. That's about it.
Kadarius Toney.
Yeah.
What's he done with the Giants? I haven't heard much.
Probably not much.
Him.
He's with the Giants.
Well, yeah. But again, that's one of those teams where it's like, gosh, you'd think there'd be opportunity. I mean, he was the fourth guy picked, but of course, he was 20. But, you know, that's one of those things that, yeah, Bateman right ahead of him. Then you have.
He has 4 receptions for 14 yards.
I mean, I haven't seen anything out of, okay, Eskridge for Seattle. I didn't see him. I don't even know that he was active. Tutu Atwell. I'd love to. He's just like KJ Hamler, who now is out for the year, by the way, ACL. But if he ever does anything, that guy is so fun to watch. You know, Terrace Marshall so far has had a little bit of work with the Panthers, but not a ton. How about Josh Palmer? He was very good in the preseason. I haven't been able to watch the Chargers much. That's a guy that I looked at and I said, might not be bad.
Yeah. I mean, apparently these Tennessee wide receivers who are good but not great in college, they could just go on. Like Marquez Callaway is the number one receiver right now for New Orleans.
Amazing.
Didn't get drafted.
Amazing. No, and like he was totally a guy who was a very good college player.
Yeah.
But I didn't think he was going to have any kind of significant NFL impact.
Josh Palmer has 3 catches for 38 yards.
Okay. So a little bit of work. Nico Collins is hurt now with the Texans. I think he's going to be good. There's another guy. I really like Nico Collins. Anthony Schwartz, the Browns. I mean, you know, it's very early. It's asking a lot to think, you know, any of these guys are going to – I mean, who went after Dez Fitzpatrick? St. Brown to the Lions. He's playing, but, you know, he's with the Lions.
Yeah.
Godspeed. Very different kind of – yeah, exactly. Very different kind of player. So, yeah, look, in general, I would agree, though. You moved up to draft a guy who you immediately basically were like, okay, you're not very good. The thing that's good for the Titans is that Marcus Johnson has happened. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina has happened. Chester Rogers has happened. One guy who was an undrafted guy who latched on last year, two who they signed, both haven't played at Indy, and both guys, I think, before the season's done, are going to matter.
Just want to point out that Derrick Henry is in the top 100 in the NFL in terms of receiving yardage. At number 91, tied with Freddie Swain with Seattle.
Interesting. So he's 91. Corey Davis is number 91 among the NFL players. And Derrick Henry also is tied for the team lead in receptions. So
yes, he is. How many people you think had that one 3 games into the year?
I mean, I don't even know if it would even be mentioned, you know?
Probably not.
You wouldn't even think about it.
So let's operate under the assumption that A.J. Brown can't go on Sunday, and I think it's a safe assumption. He's week to week with a hamstring injury. I'd be surprised if he plays this Sunday against New York. Going to be an interesting day to see if Julio Jones is on the injury report or not today at Titans practice. Can you get Marcus Johnson back somewhat soon in this Titans offense? Lots of questions still yet to be answered. But let's just say A.J. Brown can't go, Julio Jones can. How do you think the receiving core shakes out in terms of who gets the bulk of the minutes coming up on Sunday?
Well, I just can't. Even if Marcus Johnson is designated to return, I think it's probably safer to just assume he's not going to play or have much impact.
Yep.
I'm expecting Julio Jones to play. So I think he'll play. I'm expecting A.J. Brown to not play. That's how. But, yeah, today will help clarify for sure. Today will help, you know, clear that up to some extent. But, you know, hamstrings, you know, Schefter reported week to week. They're still, like, day to day, technically speaking. I wouldn't look for him at all this week, and I have my doubts about next week at Jacksonville. But, look, Westbrook-Ikhina is I'm sorry, but I will go back to a piece that ran in The Athletic.
Yes.
That said that there's a lot of people in the building who are excited about him, and also Marcus Johnson, by the way, and that they feel like he can, you know, make a difference. I mean, he's been a pro. He catches the ball now. He's big and strong. He does other stuff for the team, of course. So I think he's a factor. We know Cam Batson can make plays, and Chester Rogers obviously has had a couple mishaps here. I think maybe one other drop too, but he's going to be a big factor for sure. Who am I forgetting? Because I don't see Racy McMath. I know he was out there. He lined up. He ran a couple routes. I don't see him having any kind of, you know, actual role in the passing game.
Well, and it doesn't look like Josh Reynolds is going to be having much of a role either.
Yeah, but maybe. So if Marcus Johnson isn't ready and if A.J. Brown is out, does that put Reynolds into the mix?
I mean, I'd hope so. But I guess, I mean, just can he run? I guess that's the question, because I still feel like his speed, and you've talked about this many times, his speed could be a big weapon for this team. You know, even when everybody's healthy, you know, Josh Reynolds coming in and maybe stretching the field vertically could be a big weapon for this group. So I would hope if A.J. Brown can't go that he would be the next guy up at that point. But I don't know that he will be.
I'm trying to think of – I mean, if they have to – okay, so if they need McMath in special teams,
yep,
that's fine. Yeah, it's got to be Reynolds, unless it's Johnson. Now, Johnson is good to go, then I don't know, man, with Josh Reynolds. Yeah. And again, then you bring in A.J. Brown back at some point. And a McMath is out of there probably.
Yeah.
Although that is a hit to the kicking game. You know, if he's grading out well in special teams, but this week certainly will be interesting. Maybe Cam Batson time, man.
Could be.
Cam Batson all over the Jets.
The guy can play. If you told me right
he's
now
he's an absolute pro
that Cam Batson was going to have like four catches for 60 yards on Sunday, I'd say, yeah, I could see that.
Totally. I mean, he was there. Like, they went to Dallas 2018.
Yeah.
He was, like, arguably their best receiver for, like, 2 weeks. So
there's that.
The guy is, I mean, he's a heck of a story. He really is.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. What have we made of the coordinators and their performance so far this season? We'll get into that coming up next. Got some tickets to give away as well on the other side. Stay tuned. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in tonight as Nashville SC takes on Orlando at Nissan Stadium. Pregame starts at 7:15 and the match begins at 7:30. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, now with two locations in Murfreesboro. Visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. We've got some tickets to give away to see the Nashville Predators take on the defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning coming up this Saturday night at Bridgestone Arena. Preseason game on the docket. Be caller number 5 at 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 at 615-737-1025 to win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Lightning coming up at Bridgestone Arena this Saturday, October the 2nd. I'll be in the house for that, so looking forward to that game. Is Rex Rowe with his microphone again?
Why am I having such trouble today?
I don't know.
What is going on?
It's all about the effort this time of morning. You're bringing it strong.
There's something discombobulated. It's either me or this microphone.
I don't know. It could be both.
Or both.
Could be. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. I got a text that says, see, the Titans are down two receivers. Should have kept Mason Kinsey. Everybody was talking about how good the receiver room is. Now look at it.
Okay, so Mason Kinsey is on the team. His name's Cam Batson. He's better than Mason Kinsey, and he's playing. And you think that Mason Kinsey, I mean, he's behind the guys who are on the field now. He's on the practice squad.
I do want to point out they do have Mason Kinsey.
Yeah.
He is available to them.
Yes.
He is just on the practice squad.
So if they feel like Mason Kinsey could do a better job than Cam Batson, they would activate him and would not have Cam Batson active. But instead, they have Cam Batson active. So
they have Des Fitzpatrick as well.
They do. They have Kinsey and Fitzpatrick. I'm in the building. I'm the team, just not on the active team, with the show team. I don't like that
That's
term.
That's a lot of team.
Vrabel calls it the show. I don't like that term. I like practice squad.
The show team.
He calls it the show team.
Yeah.
It's more like, I guess that's like the NFL term for it. I like practice squad.
I do too.
But regardless, if Mason.
Set variable straight today, won't you?
Just like, hey, I will. Next time we say show team, I said, what are you talking about? Yeah, Mason Kinsey, it's. Hey, look, I was big on Mekhi Sargent. Hey, I still feel like Mekhi Sargent could be worth a carry here or there. He got one the other day. But just. And Mason Kinsey, good story also. Works hard. I mean, he was really good in those, you know, preseason games, making huge plays in the second halves of preseason games. Can be very deceiving. But, look, it's a great story for him to be getting an NFL paycheck.
Yeah.
You know, but, again, I don't think anybody over there would say, yeah, he should be ahead of Cam Batson. And Cam Batson's a guy I didn't think was going to be on the team. So, now that's before certain things happen.
Sure.
Don't bet against Cam Batson.
That's what we've learned. Cam Batson, he's a fighter, man. He'll stick around and like a really good player for the Titans to have on their team. So, Joe, we knew heading into this season that a lot of the conversation, whether it was the success of the Titans or potentially the failure of the Titans, was going to revolve around the two coordinators. Todd Downing, Shane Bowen received a lot of attention, obviously. You know, Shane Bowen was not great last year in that first operation of not really being the defensive coordinator, but being the defensive coordinator. You stay in-house. You promote Todd Downing to offensive coordinator. The whole offensive operation was a total disaster in week one against Arizona. So let's start there on the offensive side of the ball. We've now seen two games since then with Seattle and with Indianapolis as well. I thought, especially in the Seattle game, Todd Downing responded really well. I thought he called a great game in that game. And then, you know, I thought the calls were fine against Indianapolis. The execution at times wasn't all that great. What have you made overall of the job that Todd Downing has done through three games as offensive coordinator for the Titans?
Well, I think the panic from week one has subsided. I mean, at that point, you had Todd Downing's body of work as an OC was the Raiders year that went very poorly, and that game. I was like, uh-oh, what is going on here? But, yeah, I think the last 2 weeks, especially the Seattle game, I just really liked some of those calls in the second half, and I thought it was fine. I mean, I would still sign up for a little bit less predictability on first down and stuff like that. But guys are getting open. They have to figure out not letting clean shots happen on Ryan Tannehill still. Yep. And ultimately that does fall on him. He's the head coach of the offense. So they got to figure that out, not get the clean shots. They've got to become a much, better, sharper offense and stop turning it over. But you don't blame Todd Downing for the ball popping off Chester Rogers or for Ryan Tannehill throwing into a pep rally, which will forever be cited from the other day. And Nick Westbrook-Ikhina getting the ball ripped out of his hands. I mean, right now the turnovers are bad. Now, some of the clean shots that Tannehill has taken, that have resulted in fumbles, you don't want him to fumble. But also, why is that happening? Why the other day did, just a rusher come through clean between the guard and the tackle? This happens in football. You can't expect perfect protection every play. But clean hits on the QB, that wasn't something we saw a ton last year, even after they lost Lawan.
Right.
So I'd say, there's plenty to figure out and to improve on. But I'd say through 3 weeks, the concerns that he was going to take this thing and just drive it into a ditch should probably be cooled off.
I think so too. And look, I will say, and whether this is just totally by design or whether this is Tannehill and Henry just kind of taking care of business themselves, I think it's a combination of the two. But getting Henry involved in the passing game, lining him up out wide the other day, I've liked what I've seen from Downing in that aspect. And look, credit goes to Derrick Henry for working and improving and getting better in that area. But if you could start to use him more as a weapon in the passing game, that's pretty scary if you're an opposing defense. And I like how they've used him so far in terms of being multidimensional, multifaceted with Derrick Henry. I think that can serve you well in the long run.
I agree, and the screens so far have been pretty good. They've been productive. Again, last year, I don't know what the numbers were on the screens, but they kind of just went away from it.
Yep.
Because the year before, they had been such a problem for teams. And so far, they've been really well-timed, and they've been nicely set up, and they've gotten something out of them every time. They haven't gotten the big play out of them, but they've gotten something out of them. And again, last year, teams did a really good job on that. So I agree. The usage of him in different ways. I mean, late in the game, key drive, and maybe this had something to do with the personnel situation at receiver, but you're just throwing that's not a little check down dump. You're throwing, a shot over to the sideline to Derrick Henry.
And yep.
Worked out pretty well. Again, give him the ball with any kind of space. Oh, you give him a chance to stiff arm someone.
He will do it.
You get a nice play out of it. So I agree. That's been a positive development for sure.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Logan texting in. Todd has done a really good job to me. Last week we should have won by 20. Turnovers in the red zone kept us from that. It was a dominant game for the Titans last week other than the turnovers. And that's what happens when you turn the ball over three times. It looks a little closer than that game actually was on Sunday against Indy.
Right. So that's something that they're not going to be able to sustain. They won't. I mean, I guess they could possibly, be on the negative side against the next two teams and still win. But the next two teams are a chance to kind of start flipping that the other way, forcing some more. I mean, you got rookie quarterbacks coming up. So that side of the ball has only forced one turnover. But then also, I just think most of the offensive issues there have just been individual sloppiness.
Yep.
Still goes to the head coach of the offense.
It does. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week. For a chance to win, go to thegamenashville.com for more details and to play. Silly underdog picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. When we come back, we'll get into the defensive side of the ball. What do we make of the job that Shane Bowen has done through the first three games of the season? That's up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com /deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Current deals include half off on gift cards for Retro Snow, Fat Cat Slims, Central Barbecue, Joyland in East Nashville, and Bad Axe Throwing in Nashville. Get your deal now while they last at thegamenashville.com /deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. We'll be joined to begin the 7 o'clock hour by Clark Lee, Vanderbilt football coach. Looking forward to that conversation at 7:15. Ola Adani will join us, Titans outside linebacker. So looking forward to next hour. We got a lot to get into. Couple really big guests coming up as well.
Yes, back to back.
Back to back. That's what we do here. We enjoy it. Right now talking Titans, taking your thoughts on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So we've talked about the offensive side of the ball through three games and the job that Todd Downing has done. Let's flip it to the defensive side of the ball. Shane Bowen, obviously some pressure on him heading into this year. That defense last year was abysmal. The third down defense, especially last year, was not good. When you give up 52% of third downs, it's tough to win that way. And yet the Titans still find a way to win 11 games last year, despite all of that. I think there have been moments this year where it's been a little rough for the defense. I also think there are a lot of moments where it's been good for the defense through three games. Overall, what do you make of the job that Shane Bowen has done thus far, very early into the season through three games?
Well, if you want to go with the just the traditional numbers. So both of those, offense and defense, are both 15th in the NFL.
Yep.
Which, of course, 15th in the NFL for the defense, one of those things like, hey,
you'll take
it. If that's what you're going to be, that's just fine. Obviously, the assumption there being that the offense is going to be more like last year, and we'll see if it gets there. I think one thing that was really good about last week is that, the Titans obviously had the big play issue against Seattle. They cleaned that up. Now, granted, it's a little different when you're not going against Russell Wilson throwing to Tyler Lockett and you are going against Carson Wentz unable to move in the pocket.
Yeah.
And okay receivers. I mean, they have some good receivers. I guess if they had T.Y. Like, T.Y. Hilton could be like 63 and come out here and probably torch the Titans. He wasn't there. They missed him. It was a much easier game to not give up the big play, but they did that pretty well. I like the plan against him. Really, I like the plan against the first two quarterbacks. I think they had the right plan. Kyler Murray can wreck a plan.
He can.
And Russell Wilson did not wreck the plan. And I think that's the most impressive thing for me is that second half against the Seahawks, you have one huge bust, and other than that, you really lock a very good offense down. So I think there's a lot more good than bad. I think Christian Fulton has been probably the individual story, a number one corner emerging on this defense, badly needed. And they've also done this with very little from Bud Dupree, which isn't good because that's not sustainable, but they have found other sources for pressure. I think Denico Autry has been a really nice pickup. Obviously, Adani. Gosh, dang it. First of all, I'm going to ask him next hour. Say it for us slowly so I can make sure I don't screw up. Adani. Obviously, he's been a find, which is great, and you need stuff like that. David Long Jr. is like Amani Hooker, like mid-round draft pick. You have time to develop the player, and then the player becomes a starter quality player. That's ideal. That is ideal in the world of player, selection and development.
We did get it confirmed by Vrabel on Monday that he is in fact a starter because he has started the last two games. So appreciate Vrabel for throwing that out there.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for the clarification. But, yeah, I mean, it's more good than bad. You know, and like you expect these guys to force turnovers. I mean, I think that's the next thing, and I think that's going to be an emphasis here, and they should be able to do that in the next couple weeks. I do think that the Colts ran it too well against them in some situations, especially with no Quentin Nelson on the field.
Yeah.
And that's a bit of a concern. Now you're not gonna see too many people with an offensive line that physical, although again, Quentin Nelson didn't play much of the game, or with a back as physical. I mean, Jonathan Taylor is a really good, you know, back, but you know, that's the thing in this league. It's like, how many weeks do you actually have to worry about stuff like that? Whenever teams play the Titans, they have to worry about stuff like that, but you, on a week-to-week basis, like, when's the next time the Titans are going to play somebody where it's like, you better load up and stop the run, guys? I mean, you got the two, you know, I mean, the Jags, they don't, you know. You've got the Bills. It's not really a...
They don't run the ball.
Chiefs don't really run the ball. The Rams don't really run the ball. Okay, so basically the next time they play the Colts on Halloween. So there you go. I mean, seriously. Yeah. So that, I mean, that's... It's back to a space and speed game. And I think it's more good than bad. Got to get some guys healthy. Got to get Bud Dupree on the field.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you still, from a pass rush standpoint, I think there have been moments this year where it's been good. Like, I thought Harold Landry was pretty good on Sunday, and, you know, I think he had half a sack. So it's not always in the sack number. So the pass rush has been pretty decent for the most part. There's still another level I think it's going to have to get to really maximize what the defense can be. And Bud Dupree, obviously, I mean, he's a big part of that. They've got to find a way to get him healthy. And as the season goes on, hopefully that explosiveness comes back in the knee and he can be the player that they've paid him to be there at outside linebacker. I am interested to see what this week looks like for him, because not playing on Sunday, this is a big week for Bud Dupree as well. And I wonder, you know, if the knee's not significantly better, do you sit him out again on Sunday against the Jets?
And that's the thing too. I mean, look, no coach would ever say this, but I mean, you've got to look at this opponent and say, we could get away with a few guys just resting.
Yeah.
Look, this is like a little mini bye week for some people. I'm sorry, mini idle week for some people. Oh,
had it right the first time.
That's a big, big mistake on my part. So we'll see on that. You know, another thing to watch, I mean, Jayon Brown has not been out there.
Yep. And it looked like he was going to go on Sunday. I mean, he kind of talked like he was.
And then Saturday, they changed the designation. So I don't know if that means he had a little setback or just it wasn't as good as they anticipated. Again, hamstring.
Yep.
The hamstrings, you just have to be sure. And even when you're sure half the time, it comes back. But if and when he does come back and he's fully Jayon Brown, I'm very interested. It's like I just said, like Rashawn Evans had 8 tackles the other day. Good guy to have against a team like that. But against a lot of opponents, Jayon Brown and David Long might be a nice combo. But when you talk about this in terms of, you know, what does it mean for Shane Bowen, I think there's clearly a difference for him to be the actual D coordinator.
Yep.
This whole thing should be, to me, should be a lesson for Vrabel that, you know, titles do matter.
Yeah.
And they matter in the building. And they matter to the person who gets the title and doesn't have to coach another position now. And I think you're seeing the benefits of that.
Ramal on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I think the defense will be pretty good this year because we play the Colts, Texans, and Jags twice. I feel like this is a down year for the AFC South.
Well, that's true. Those teams should help your numbers.
Especially the Jags and the Texans.
Yeah.
Like, if Carson Wentz is healthy the next time they play the Colts, I would anticipate it being a little bit more of a challenge than what we saw on Sunday.
I would think so. Yeah, I would think so. In their building, I mean, who knows what things are going to look like then, and who knows if he will be.
Yeah.
That's still an offense that, with all the pieces together, look, I don't buy that the Colts are going to fade away. I think they could be a pretty good team this year.
What if they lose on Sunday?
Well, then you start worrying about, you know, just like the psychological effect. Yeah. I mean, at some point, you know, you got to win a game.
Well, Darius Leonard pretty much said as much on Sunday. He's like, you know, we keep talking about going 1-0, but like at some point,
we keep going 0-1.
Yeah,
we keep going 0-1 every week.
This is it's a big week for the Colts, and even with a banged up Carson Wentz, with what I assume is going to be Jacoby Brissett as a starting quarterback for Miami, it's a game you need to win if you're Indianapolis. We'll see if they can
have to. You got to get this one.
We'll see if they can do it. When we come back, we'll be joined by Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee. We'll look back at a tough day for Vanderbilt against Georgia. Look ahead to the game coming up against UConn as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.